So it's really, I'm really happy to see him here today. I've had some good fellowship here last few times we talked. So I just believe the Lord is, he's still working on some people waiting here for no reason.
That's right.
There's still somebody left, church. And you wait until I get into this little bit. It's time to check up.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 2. And we're just going to read from verses 1 down to 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Simply put, tonight I'd like to preach, giving the more earnest heed.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for bringing every soul here tonight. Lord, it's just great to feel your presence here already, Lord. And Lord, this whole meeting would be nothing if your presence didn't come. So, Lord, it's everything when you do show up, Father. I pray that you just speak to my lips, Lord. May the people's hearts be open to receive your word. And may you just be able to do with us exactly as you please, Father. We don't even know what we need. We don't even know what we want, Lord, but you do, Father. And I pray that tonight you fulfill the needs of the people. Forgive us of all of our sins, Lord. Let it all be under the blood of Christ. And let us just lay aside all that unbelief tonight, Lord. May we reach out with faith and grow closer to you. We love you, Father. We appreciate you. Have your will tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
You may be seated. We've been going through the book of Hebrews here, slowly but surely, a little faster than we did the book of Romans. I got through one chapter in 9 sermons, the book of Romans, but I got through chapter 1 in about 2, but there's a few things I left out in chapter 1 I'd like to emphasize real quick here. You can go back and read chapter 1 if you haven't, but we did last few Wednesdays here. Chapter 1, Paul sets up what the book of Romans is going to be all about, and it's about exalting Jesus Christ. That's his whole purpose, is to show you that Jesus Christ is the greatest one that's ever hit the face of the earth, ever will, ever could. There's no one greater than him because he is God Almighty made flesh. That's who Christ was. That's who Christ is. And the whole first chapter is exalting him above anyone, above any angel, above any principality, any power, any devil, any person. He is the greatest. He is the Almighty.
Amen.
And to be Almighty means you are number one.
Amen.
And the second to none. And what I want to emphasize is that the Son is greater than the angels.
Amen.
What he says here says, unto which of the angels said he at any time that you would sit on my throne? He said, but to the Son,
Amen,
thou hast said, oh God, where is that throne? Showing that the Son of God was greater than even the angels themselves. So you look at the Son of God, and you go back, and you ever heard when Genesis, or chapter 6, where it says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they came together, and it just destroys. You ever heard that some people teach that was angels there? The sons of God were angels. Well, we just read where the sons greater than the angels. He said he never said to any of the angels, you're my son.
Right.
That's right.
Can you recognize you're a son of God tonight? He never said that to any angels.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Even the prophets in their office, that was pretty good. But once the Son of God came and he redeemed mankind, we were given a position above that.
Sir. Amen. Yeah.
Where? Not by the throne, not around it, in the throne of God.
Amen.
So that way, when you take the word of God that Christ put in his lips and it created, it will do the same thing.
Amen.
My, it is no secret what our God can do. If he did it back then, he will do it now.
He will. Amen.
And how can he do it now? Through us.
Amen.
But what's the problem with the church most of the time? We don't take earnest heed that it's your responsibility to spread the gospel.
Amen.
Don't leave it on somebody else. Don't leave it on the preacher. Don't leave it on the deacons. Your responsibility is to tell others of what Christ has done for you.
Amen.
We are ambassadors for Christ.
That's true.
What is an ambassador? Ambassadors from one country who goes into another country to explain things from that country he came from.
Right.
And if we could turn there real quick. I'm done making notes just about it. I'm just telling you that right now. I'm done organizing it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to put it on there, and we'll flip all around, and we'll come back and forth, and that's how it always seems to work out anyhow. So we'll go down here. I'll look last two pages. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to emphasize this, what Paul says here. Talking about giving earnest heed. It didn't just say heed either. It didn't just say just be a bystander, just kind of care about it. Giving earnest heed. This needs to be number one in your life.
Amen.
This, everything else comes second to this. And I tell you what, if people would just serve God and put their faith in that, everything else just comes in line. The things you thought you had to give someone time to, you don't.
Amen.
It'll take care of itself.
Amen.
Worship God first. You say, before my family, before my children? Yes.
Amen.
God will take care of your family. He'll take care of your children if you put him first.
Amen.
Even we could go back to the Old Testament. Remember the woman that didn't have any food? She had one more meal left. And she said, she told Elijah the prophet. The Elijah the prophet came up and said, make me some cakes. You make me some meal. She said, all I've got is enough for one more meal for me and my son, and then we're going to die.
Right.
It's over. What did he say? He said, make me a cake first. Because thus saith the Lord, the crews will never go empty. The wheat will never, it'll always keep reproducing itself. But she had to give it to the prophet first. She had to activate faith.
Amen.
She had to show that she believed.
Amen.
And that's what she did. She took that last meal and said, all right. So she took what she had left, made a little cake, gave it to the prophet. She looked back. There was more in there again.
Amen.
A little widow woman that nobody cared about.
Right.
God did.
Amen.
You think you're not insignificant? God cared about some random widow woman that he knew in her heart she loves God.
Yeah.
And she's trying, she's struggling to feed her own family. We ain't never struggled like that, church.
Yeah.
My, we eat too much. We have to fast on purpose. She wasn't fasting on purpose.
Amen.
That was all she had. And yet God, in his infinite mercy, reached out and says, I know what's in her heart. I will provide her needs. I will get my prophet. Take him out of the way. Go all the way down here to one house.
Yeah.
And supernaturally make it so our food never runs out. And we think God won't do that for us.
Amen. Come on.
Why doesn't it happen? We're not giving it earnest heed. We're not giving our full desire to Christ, so he can't bless us. So as much faith as you put him, that's all you get.
Amen.
If you'll sell out, he'll sell out for you.
Amen.
Oh my, what did the prophet say? He said, God will bankrupt heaven before he lets one word of his Bible fail.
Yeah.
He will use all his resources to make sure his word comes to pass.
Amen.
It cannot fail.
2
Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. How are we ambassadors for Christ? I love this. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Yeah.
How can you be an ambassador? Recognize that Christ took your place.
Amen.
He became your ambassador.
Amen.
He came down from heaven to come down and be a sinner. Out of his own sin now, your sin.
Amen.
He took your place, literally took your place.
Yes.
You should have been on the cross.
Amen.
That's what we deserved. You lied one time, the Bible said you're dead. If you sin the day you sin, that day you die. So there ain't none of us good now, all right? Back then when you were 2 years old and you said, Mama, I don't want to do that, or I didn't do that, you're done.
Yeah.
Right there. And actually, you're done before that because you're coming to the world speaking lies.
That's right.
How can we be an ambassador for Christ? recognize he was an ambassador for you first.
Sure.
He became me that I might become him.
Yes.
He came down. He reconciled. He that knew no sin went to the cross, paid the price so that I could be, look what this says, the righteousness of God. Not like God, literally his righteousness.
Amen.
Do you know Christ will not have the victory if we don't have it?
Right.
That's true.
We are his victory. We are the proof that Calvary actually worked.
Amen. Amen.
If Christ can't save a soul, what was the point of Calvary?
Right.
What was the point? But aren't you glad tonight? You know Calvary worked. We are walking the face of the world. We used to cuss. We used to drink. We used to smoke. We used to do what everybody else did. But then one day we met Calvary.
Amen.
And we hit the ground and said, I'm tired of being an ambassador for the world. I want to be an ambassador for Christ.
Amen.
And then what happens? God comes down, changes you. You can't change yourself. Don't even try.
Right. Amen.
The only thing God wants you to do is repent.
Amen.
What does that mean? Say, Lord, I'm wrong. Make me right.
Yes. Amen.
That's all he's wanting from you. Isn't that all Paul said? Or not Paul, but Peter. He said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? He says, repent.
Amen.
Nobody gets this stuff on hard. Just repent. Come to the Lord. Don't tell him, I need to do this, or I need to quit doing this, or I'll start doing this. Or no. Tell the Lord, I'm dead wrong.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I got nothing on for you, Lord Jesus. I failed today. I failed yesterday. I failed 5 minutes ago. But I'm coming to Calvary because you said I could.
Amen.
That's but he died for the sins of the whole world.
Glory.
And remember, when he died on the cross, everything we ever did was still future tense.
Yes, that's right.
So don't, if you mess up today, remember, he already knew about it.
Amen.
And all he wants you to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Amen. And the blood annihilates it.
Amen.
To where even the prophet of God, when the visions would come and he would see into people's life, if it was under the blood, it never came up.
Amen.
Remember, God don't see it. Amen. God don't see it. Look, we can't just make ourselves forget. God can.
Amen.
He chooses to. Look, the only things eternal is God himself. It's the thoughts that he had that are eternal. Not the temporal things. Not the devil. The devil ain't going to be there, church. He will be done away with.
Amen.
And if the devil, the root of all sin, is done away with, how your sin going to be there?
Impossible.
But if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yes.
Old things all passed away.
Yes.
All things become new.
Amen.
And I like when the Bible says all, it means
amen.
Doesn't mean most. Until this one, there's no exceptions. All things are become new. Hallelujah, Lord. You enjoying the word so far?
Amen.
I know I am. My, just got to pray for me now because we're all over the place, like I said a minute ago.
Go on.
The sons of God were given more authority than the angels. And you say, how can that possibly be? Why is that so? Because the angels were never, they were not inherently sons of God.
Right.
Which means they weren't, it wasn't an inheritance. You can't become a son. You have to be a son.
Amen.
And the angels are created beings now. Now this body that we live in, yes, that was created. But if you came from God, you were never created.
That's right.
That seed of God that was in him before the foundation of the world, that's you, was always there.
That's right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Giving the earnest heed to these things that we've heard. Look, if you cannot be lost, why are you wasting your time thinking you can?
Amen.
My, how many times have I done that? Frustrate the grace of God, going, oh God, I did this, I did this, I did this, and I'm going to do these things to make it better now, and I'm going to work my way. No, you don't want none of that. Get it under the blood of Christ and move on.
Amen.
Exactly,
yes.
It doesn't matter how many times you fall, it matters how many times you get back up.
Amen.
It needs to be equal. Not one behind.
One more time.
That's always what we want, right? Well, I can't get over this one. We're one behind time. Getting up. All right? If you fall 5-7 times, the Bible says, get up 7. Don't just get up 6. Get up all 7 and recognize Christ already overcome this.
Amen.
Amen.
The foolishness of God is smarter than the wisdom of men. Look, he wasn't trusted in you. His foolishness will not be stopped by men.
Right.
They try to tell you, oh, you're not saved, you can't be saved. This thing you believe is a bunch of nonsense. But God turns around and says, no, sir, the sick are healed.
Yes.
Amen.
The lame walk.
Amen.
The blind see.
Amen.
The sinners receive salvation.
Yes. Amen.
God comes down and changes and beat the greatest thing that could ever happen to you.
Yes.
Amen.
And makes you a son of God. And what does he do when he does that? He shows you, if you recognize it now, when you're really born again in the spirit, you've got to recognize I was always this.
Yes.
This is really who I am.
Yes, it is.
I'm not living a dual personality.
No.
That old man is dead.
Amen.
I didn't just divorce him. I killed him.
Amen.
Man, I more people got more faith that the old man can resurrect than the new man.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Oh, man, I just can't get over this. Of course you can't, but Christ already did.
Amen.
Why don't you start saying that out of your lips? Look, a word has to be spoken. A thought has to be spoken before it does anything.
Amen.
Oh, my, do I have that here? I have that somewhere. Hold up. Oh, my, you pray for me now, because I might be getting my other sermon mixed up, too. Oh my, I told Dad I'll just share this with you. Dad won't be here Sunday. And I told him, you know, we've been going through the seals there. And I was like, man, maybe I can get through the third and fourth Sunday. I got studying the third seal. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. We might, I don't know if I'll finish the third seal. The word of God is life.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize. I don't know, it's all right. Oh my. The word can't fail, church. The word cannot fail.
Never.
Even times when let's just put it this way, it's our fault when things don't happen the way they're supposed to. Let's just fess up. Let's just fess up. We do not give the earnest heed when the word of God, we seem to go through the actions and it doesn't pan out the way it's supposed to. We did something wrong. It's not time to back up and start, oh, is the message really right? Is the Bible really the right book? Or do I need to do? No, it is right.
Amen. Right.
Heard Brother Brad Burgess say one time, I can't remember, he had a couple testimonies he told about how he literally saw with his own eyes a guy with his leg about like this, watch it come right out. He said another time he had somebody in his church that had their car was locked and they couldn't get in. And he took some key, I can't remember, he said just faith came over me. And he said, I took that key, I put it in there to unlock the door.
Amen.
That key never worked again. What made it happen? Faith. He said, look, you get it right. It works.
Amen.
It'll work every time. But look, if you walk up to God with unbelief in your head because there's something wrong in your life that you don't have under the blood.
Right.
You can't have perfect faith.
Amen.
Which means you're just asking a mess. You might as well fight blind and see if you get a lucky punch. It ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a real fighter, you know every strike has a specific purpose.
Amen.
How are you going to do that? Give the earnest heed. We are soldiers, church. You didn't join Christianity to sit back on a flattery bed and eat. You joined a war.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me go back here. Coming out of, when Brother Branham preached Hebrews chapter 2, I'd like to quote this for a minute here. It says, and what type of people ought we to be when we see the great Jehovah come down and do the things that he does and see them compared scripture by scripture that they're the truth, and we sit around sometimes like warts on a log and just so unconcerned. We ought to be busy every minute trying to get people to Christ.
Sure.
We ought to be lively stones.
Lively,
which means that a life every day it keeps producing. Aren't you glad that your life keeps reproducing itself every day?
Amen.
Would you imagine if you treated your natural life like we do our spiritual life sometimes? I'm not going to eat today. You know, you don't read your Bible, don't pray. Okay, we'll just stop eating for a few days. We'll see what happens to your natural body. You're subjected to sickness any time. You can't hardly move. You want to sleep all the time. You're miserable. Why would it be the same with the Word of God?
That's right.
Sir. We should never be slothful like we are. We'll go to church, listen closely now, and we'll see the Lord Jesus do something or bless us in such a way, and then we'll go back and say, very nice meeting.
Yeah,
that was a good meeting. Now, the preaching of the word, we enjoy it.
Sure.
Amen. But that's not the main thing. That's not. We should not worship the Lord just after we get done preaching the word as we usually do, just worship him. That's wonderful. But we should worship him every hour of our life.
Amen.
When we're at work, we should worship him. Every time the opportunity presents itself, worship the Lord by testifying of him.
Yes. Amen.
Told you something. I was preaching my sermon to Sunday fellowship. Now look what he said there. Every time the opportunity presents itself. So we should not take this. Don't take this the wrong way and become a legalist. Please. That's not what I'm saying this for. You live your life for God. But when the opportunity presents itself,
yes,
step in.
Yes.
Don't go around You need to find the Lord, and they don't even know what you're talking about, and you're just making a fool out of yourself, and you're making a mockery of Christianity. Wait for the door to open.
Amen.
Live your life for God. People will notice there's something different.
That's right.
They'll look at you and go, no, there's something about this. And eventually, if there's something on the inside, because you can't put it there now, don't try. Don't try to give somebody the Holy Ghost. Only God can.
Amen.
But you can lead them there. And when they start asking, you say, why? Let me just read it here. Let me show you what Brother Bram says here. It says, when we're at work, testifying every time an opportunity presents itself. If you see some of you ladies, see a woman in the wrong, worship the Lord by taking her aside and saying, sister, get rid of that pants. That's not what he says. Taking her aside and saying, sister, there's a better life than this.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. You men at your work, when you hear a man using the name of the Lord in vain, get a chance at one side and slip over, take him by the hand and say, you, there's a better life than this. You shouldn't use those words. And tell him in a meek, gentle way. Right. And all those things is a worship.
Yeah.
And when you see somebody sick, come on now, church. When you see somebody sick and the doctor says there's no more can be done, we ought to worship the Lord by telling them there's a God of heaven that answers prayer.
Yeah, that's right.
And that when we see those things take place, that we do see take place enough, we should never let those things slip.
Never, amen.
We should not let it go through our fingers.
That's right.
Isn't that what Paul's getting here? Let me go back there again. Once everybody turn back there, please. Hebrews chapter 2. If you don't remember anything, remember, give the earnest heed to the things which we've heard. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Now let me go through this scripture here. Actually, I'm going to read this real quick. Let me go back to this. We were talking about witnessing and how to get the word out and waiting for the opportunity to present itself, but be willing to step in. I'll tell you what, I was so rebuked by this quote from some of the things I did in my past that I about went home and cried about it. But look what the prophet says here. Again, Hebrews chapter 2 sermon. Today, we got so many things you have to do. Have to turn new pages. You have to do this and do that in order to get saved. How many times, you ever witnessed that way?
Sure.
You need to do this, and this. And what happens is you make, like the Bible said, a true child more hell than they were before because they get religious. And they think they're saved because they do this, and they don't do this, and they do this, and they don't do this. And that has nothing to do with it.
Right.
If that has something to do with it, Calvary means nothing.
Right.
If you can merit your salvation without the blood of Christ, then why did he waste his time?
Yeah.
Why did he suffer the way he did unless that was the only way it could be done?
Right, amen.
So never try to earn God's favor, accept his favor.
Yes.
And the same when you tell the people. Now, he goes through the story here. Listen closely. I think of the Philippian jailer. When the jailer asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? It had been you or I. We had told him the things he ought not to do. You ought to quit drinking. You ought to quit your gambling. Your gambling, you ought to quit this. You ought to quit that. Paul never told him that. He just told him the things he ought to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen. Glory.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
When you go to tell people how to get saved, it should not be some 20-page essay and reading 12 books and putting all this together, and that's how you finally get saved. No. Tell them what to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Believe that literally he took your place.
Amen.
Recognize yourself as sinners. We talked before, the only ones who can even recognize their sinners in the first place are those that can be saved.
Amen.
People that think that they don't recognize that they're actually lost won't desire to get saved because they think they're okay.
Amen.
But you meet a man that actually knows, I'm worthless. Then you got something to work with.
Right.
Tell them what to do. Find Christ.
Amen.
Go to him. He will take away your woes. He'll take away your sin. He'll take away your sickness. He'll give you new life.
Amen.
How many is a witness to that?
Sure.
I know I am. I didn't know what I did before I met Christ. There's nothing worth living for. It all runs out.
Yeah.
And even after we get into Christ, sometimes the devil will turn around and say, oh, you don't watch TV, and then you go to somebody's house, they got the thing going, and your flesh says, oh yeah, let's go ahead and watch. You know, I'm kind of neglected anyways. And you get about 10 minutes in, and you go, I hate this. This is not the life worth living. It's not. There's a better way to live.
Amen.
Mind, you think God made us to worship a little 20-inch box? Sit behind it with a blue glow on us 24/7? You know, that's what some people live for.
Sure.
They get up, they go to work, they strive, get overtime to pay for their big screen TVs in their houses just to sit behind it and watch it.
Right.
That's life. What do they get up for? To work the next day. But I tell you what, when a man meets Christ, he realizes what life was really all about.
Amen.
Oh, you get in the presence of the Lord one time, telling people what they ought to do, but you get in the presence of the Lord one time.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Take a crippled man and watch him walk up. You tell me there's something else worth living for? Oh my, just makes you, doesn't it just thrill you just thinking about, you know, that man who was leaping and jumping after he got healed? Yeah, he would have been, you would have been doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I thank God for that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, you say, brother, how are we going to take earnest heed? How are we going to really give our full desire to God? You want to know the number one thing to do if you want to serve God and to do the things that please Him? Love Him.
Yes.
Love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And that's the one that gets us the most, I think, sometimes. We know deep down in here, there's something there that says, I know I love the Lord Jesus. I want to do what the Lord Jesus says. But then this unbelief thought goes, oh, but you already prayed enough today.
Right.
Why don't you just go and, you know, play some cards or something? I can't think of nothing on top of my head. But you know how those things work, and that's really where the battle is. It's right here, church. It's in your mind. And you got to recognize if you are a creator, if you're really a son of God. Because if God, look at this. Okay, let's make it real simple. If you have a duck and it has a child, what do you got? A duck. Is it going to fly like the other one? Yes. Is it going to have feathers like the other one? Yes. Is it going to have a beak like the other one? Yes. So if you take God and you make a son.
Yes.
And this God can create things. He can speak things into existence. He can take out sickness. He can cast out devils. Why wouldn't the Son of God be able to do the same thing?
Yes.
But look, if you take the word and it just stays a thought, it does you no good.
Yes.
And it's every one of our responsibilities. God doesn't deal with some group. He doesn't just, we think of that sometimes, how does that, was it Brother Noel Johnson? Does everybody know Brother Noel? I appreciate that, brother. But he was talking about some man, he was over in India. And he kept asking him, he says, where does God dwell? And he says, in His bride. And he said, what are you a part of? He said, I'm part of the bride. And he said, well, what does God live in then? His bride. He said, well, what are you part of? The bride. You see, you never can make the connection. It's not that God lives, in the bride. In the body of Christ. No, God lives in me.
Amen.
Because I'm part of it.
Amen.
So if God lives in me and He wants to fulfill His word, why would I not speak it?
Yes. Amen.
You know why people don't speak the word? They're afraid that it won't come to pass.
Right.
And I know what it's like firsthand, church. I know there's times where I've had the gift of prophecy work in my life. Some of you know that. And when it comes, there's always, before I can actually get through, there's always a thought it won't happen.
Uh-huh.
The devil's not, it's not a panic. The devil's going to fight.
Amen.
There's one time I'll miss it. I'll tell you when it happened. There was one time I was sitting there, and God is my witness. He kept telling me to say, judgment will strike the Midwest. This was a year and a half ago or something like that. You remember when we had that drought for 4 months? It was right before it started.
Amen.
And I missed it because I was afraid. And to think what kind of glory God could have got if I would have just said it then. But what happens? We take those little thoughts, and Satan makes havoc out of it. Don't listen to Satan's lies. You are a son of God. God wants to make His word live through you. He wants to heal the sick through you. He wants to prophesy through us, church. He wants these works to happen. We're not twisting God's arm to make Him get glorified.
Come on.
He wants to receive glory. We're not trying to earn His favor. He gave it to us.
Amen.
Who asked Christ to come down and die for your sins? Who asked Him to? None of us did, but He knew that we would need it, so He did it Himself.
Amen.
Could you recognize how much He loves you? It makes it so much easier to love Him back.
Yeah.
Giving you receive, church. We need to fall in love with Him every minute, every day.
Yes.
All of our energy, all of our effort to Him at all times. And don't wait for somebody else. It's an individual affair.
Amen.
The body of Christ is not, it's not made of just some, all the Methodists are the part of the body. All the message people are part of the body. All the Baptists. No, it's nothing to do with that. It's every single individual has their own individual responsibility.
Amen.
Is there any part of my body that doesn't have some sort of function that my body could use?
Right.
I hate that when they say we got vestigial organs, is that what it's called? You know, my arm is vestigial, I guess. I could cut it off and still live. But I sure appreciate it being here.
Right, amen.
These stupid scientists sometimes drives me nuts. Oh, it's vestigial. We don't need it. And then when you take it out, people get cancer and everything else. We don't need it. What do you guys know anyhow? 1 week coffee's good for you. Next week it ain't. one week eggs are good for you, then they're not no more. Then you're supposed to eat them without the yolk, and then we go, oh no, we need the yolk. Make up your mind. That's what's so nice about God. His mind don't change. Is it nice to serve a God that you know where he stands?
Yes.
Isn't that when you know you have a real friend, when you know exactly where they stand?
Yes.
And if you would put faith in this God, that what he said, he didn't think twice about it. When he said, I will take your place so that you can become me, he meant it.
Amen.
Oh my. Could you put yourself in the throne now, church? Could you really recognize what God is trying to do in these last days?
Yeah.
Why did God send us the truth? He's ready to see his word magnified.
Amen.
He's tired of watching it lay dormant, tired of watching Satan slip in and do all these things as we've gone through the seals, how he comes through in these little thoughts and destroys brotherhood, destroys the church, destroys all the works and the miracles, destroys the lifeline. He don't want to see you wallowing and going, oh, Jesus, help me. He wants you victorious.
Amen.
As we said before, we know Christians have to suffer. We have to go through hard times. But look, we ain't going to suffer like Christ did.
Nope.
He did that part for us.
Amen.
People act like just because they're suffering that, you know, God owes them something. God don't owe no man anything. Every breath you have was a gift from God.
Man, that's right.
You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve nothing from God. You ever read Hebrews chapter 11, where Paul talks, excuse me, I'm going to have to take a drink. I think you're getting it tonight, so I might not go too much longer. Lord willing. Paul talks in Hebrews 11 about all the warriors of faith. He talks about some, you know, they get us cut in half, give their lives, they're burning the stake and all these things. Let me just quote from Brother Branham here. He says, oh Christ, when I read here how they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, lived in dens of the earth and caves, they wandered about under vile persecution and yet obtained the faith under the ministry of angels. How will we escape? Isn't that what Paul said there in Hebrews chapter 2? How shall we escape when the Lord Jesus has given us fine homes, cars, and clothes, and food, and we murmur?
Sure.
We sit around. We're lazy. We never try to get out and do something about it. How will we escape God? Oh, I pray that you'll burn old-fashioned conviction into every heart.
Amen.
Lord, that the people might be up and at it.
Amen.
Let us work while the daylight is shining because the sun is swiftly sinking. Oh, God, grant today that we go with fresh vision, with wisdom, with understanding, to know how to approach sinners and bring them to Christ. Isn't that your number one desire? Any real Christian, look, you're not living for yourself. And if your experience is just to be some message monk and sit up in a cave and read your Bible and just pray 24/7, you've missed the point. The point that you even feed it so you can give it to others.
Yes.
That's eternal life. Tell me one time Christ lived for himself.
Never.
Right.
When? You find in the Bible one time he did something that profited him that didn't already promise somebody else a million times more. And we said we got his life and we're living for ourselves the whole time. No, you're not. That's
Amen.
Not right. You should live for others every chance you get.
Amen.
And you can't put God in these little boxes and go, well, how do we witness? And, you know, we go to youth camps and they tell us, well, you know, we need to do this, this, and this. And that's how you witness. And that just frustrated me more than anything I can remember. I was only 20 years old back then, I think. And one of these, a minister bring the message, probably, Lord, I've been alive. Got up and he was going around and asking questions, you know, kind of what unbelievers would say. And he was trying to say how to argue logically. And I tell you what, you know, like, oh, if somebody asked this, then he would respond back in some kind of logical way to make him sound dumb. You know what I'm trying to say? Fighting with words. And I went, I never preach the gospel that way. I sit back and wait for God to tell me what to say.
Amen.
I don't got to sit here and think. The Bible specifically told me not to.
Amen.
It says, take no thought. Sorry, preacher, I don't care who you are. The word said, take no thought, for the Father knows what you need, and he will give it when you need to say it. Ah. I had my righteous indignation stirred because I'm like, I never went to no stool to figure out how to witness. God came.
Amen.
He's a good witnesser.
Yes, he is.
If you recognize that same God that was in Christ, who showed himself to the world, is now in you, and he wants to show himself to the world.
Amen.
Makes it a lot easier, don't it? It takes all the hard part about it, as far as the working part. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to believe. And that's the fight. The fight is to keep faith and to keep unbelief out the door. That's all that there is. There's nothing else to worry about. Faith and unbelief. Any thought contrary to what dismissed it. It's the devil.
Amen.
100% of the time. God is no author of confusion, says the Bible. So the second, I love when that happens to you. Well, I just don't know, brother. Well, that's the devil right now. I know it.
Amen.
When God talks to me, it's plain.
Amen.
I don't sit here and have to do a calculus equation to figure out what he's trying to say to me. It makes sense.
Amen.
And then he'll turn around and he'll say, look at this scripture. There it is. I go, yep, that's exactly what it is, Lord. I'm moving forward.
Yes, sir.
Because we can sit here and we go through the scripture and go, oh, but Jesus witnessed like this here and then here and then over here. But you got to recognize this situation was not the same as this. And if you figured it all out yet to know what's going on in somebody's life, to know how to witness to them, but if somebody knows everything, do you know his name? I do, it's Christ.
Amen.
And he knows it all. And he actually doesn't even got to go learn it. He doesn't got to study up. He just one of those brainiacs. Just knows it all, right? And if he knows all about that person, do you think he knows what they need to hear to come to Christ?
Amen.
Yes. And look, he wants them saved more than you do.
Amen.
My, how many of us have sacrificed and given your life on the cross for everyone else? Anybody else do that? Anybody else step out of the throne of heaven and say, yep, I'll come down there and live a whole life of suffering to save the sins of the world. None of us did that. None of us chose that. Not in our flesh anyhow. But there was a part of us that had the same desires, the same life, because we are sons and daughters of God. Look, there was a day where I wasn't here, church, but I was in that man.
Amen.
I was there.
Amen.
There was some part of his body that's
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
Yes.
But there came a day when I came forth.
Amen.
And you walked in this world. It would just be like being in a womb of your mother, right? We were in this world. Nobody could recognize. They couldn't even see into there. But once the Holy Ghost came, the water, the blood, then it came out and showed, oh, this is who he is.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that God's by your way? And took away the doubt, took away the fear, took your sin, pushed it into the sea of forgiveness, and says, you're my son.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
If you'll give heed to that, it's just giving your heart into it. Do you understand what I'm saying, church?
Yes.
Just giving your entire desire to serving God. And to realize, oh man, I don't know how many times we try to satisfy with these other things, and we all know it fails. And we're just forgetful here. Sometimes we'll go and try it again. And you go, nope, still doesn't satisfy. And then, you know, the devil comes just one more time, right? You know, you did it almost enough. You know, a greedy man, I think there was a rich man asked one time, he says, how much is enough money? He said, one more dollar. Always one more. And that's how the devil will run your life. If you don't surrender to Christ, if you don't give the earnest heed to Christ, that's how the devil will run your life. He don't care about you.
Right.
He wants you dead. Why? Because you remind him
right.
of the one that beat him up. Ram illustrates the stories, because the Bible says that after Christ died, he went down to hell.
That's right.
And he said, and he preached this to the ones that rejected him, so they would have no excuse anymore. And they might have thought, well, it was just this, and he went down there and said, no, that was me and him.
Yeah.
That was me and David.
Yeah.
That was me the whole way through. You
Amen.
Rejected me when you rejected
yeah.
them. And
yeah.
it's the same in this day. People think they're rejecting Andrew. They're rejecting
right.
Brother Brandon. They're rejecting you, your brother or sister. No, if they take the word and they rejected Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
He went down there and preached those souls so there would be no excuse.
Right.
And then he went to the old devil's door. He said, I'm here, Mr. Devil. And the devil thought, I've got him. Finally. I killed Abel back then. I thought I had it. You know, I made Moses smoke the rock twice. I thought I had it. Now I've got the Son of God. I've killed him. And what did Satan, Jesus didn't even worry about it. He just, give me the keys. He went over there, found Abraham, Isaac, and James. And come on, boys, unlock the door.
Amen.
Getting out of here. We're going back.
We're going home. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because Hebrews 11 tells you they were looking for it. They saw the promise. They knew it was coming. They didn't even have the born again experience. Have evidence. But there was something in the inside which was a predestined seed of God.
Amen.
The faith of God that was in them saying, he has to come.
Amen.
Job says, in my flesh, I will see my Redeemer.
Amen. I'll see God. Amen.
And they saw the coming and they believed it. And they had to go to paradise, which we know before Christ died was in Satan's control at the time. It would be like being able to do what you want, but you got to stay in this building right here. That's what it was like. But when Christ died, he paid the atonement. The Satan's kingdom was totally, I can't think of the word I want to saying it was vanquished. The Bible says discomforted. I like that. But it means destroyed. He went down there. He kicked every tooth that the devil had. It's gone.
Amen.
Church, the devil was a bee. Let's put it that way. He was a bee with a stinger. Anybody got stung with a bee that actually gets the stinger in there? Do you know what happens to that bee? It's done. And you can recognize that Christ purposely made sure that the devil put his whole stinger, every effort that he had into him, so he could take it, go down, pay the penalty. Oh, the devil's so stupid. The devil's so stupid. Would you recognize how dumb he is? When you get these trials and the devil picks on you and do these things, recognize that he's actually doing the best thing for you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When he's trying to get after you, that's the best thing for you. Because it knocks out all the foolishness real quick. Amen. You want to fight a good prayer time? Watch what happens when some of your family gets sick. My, your prayer life gets right back in line in no time, don't it? That old dumb devil, I tell you what. If you can recognize he's a chump, that he's already defeated, and that you have somebody in you who's already beat him, and all we're waiting on is to manifest what he already said is going to happen,
right.
You can walk victorious.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Now let's go back. Let's go back to Hebrews 2. That was kind of a little bit of a rapture. I'm going to try to wrap it up here. Everybody enjoying the word this evening.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's read this again. I'm going to go through slow how the prophet did here. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time, I like that, any time we let them slip. Oh my, you wake up with a headache, don't let the word slip.
Amen.
Pay for it. You can receive your healing.
Amen.
You get that thought of depression come by, go back to the word where it says he is our peace. He's broken down all the world. Don't let it slip. Don't let the word slip at any time, church. Verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and we realize that an angel can be a heavenly angel and an earthly angel, can be either one. This is speaking of earthly angels now. It says, the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward. Let me just give you one example of that. Elijah was a prophet of God. He was an angel of God. He was a messenger. Angel and messenger being the same thing.
Amen.
He was sitting up there. And they wanted him to come down because the drought was on. Could you imagine a drought for 3.5 years? Seriously. Could you imagine there being no rain for 3.5 years? These people had a reason to be mad now. All right? It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And they blamed it on that man because he prophesied. And he actually, if you read the Bible, he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't.
Right.
Not because he hated them, because he knew they weren't serving God.
Right.
And that was the worst thing for him. And they came up to try to bring him down. And he said, if I be a man of God, let fire fall from heaven. Then it devoured 50 men.
Yeah.
Happened twice. Look how dumb people are sometimes. We wonder why sometimes you watch somebody run straight long right for the devil just as fast as they can. And then their life's ruined and things, you wonder why. What do you think back then when that one captain got up there? I give the first captain, the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he didn't help. But the second guy? How stupid are you, buddy? They just burned up. Second guy gets up there, they're all destroyed. The third guy finally had some brains and said, look, be merciful to me. I'm just trying to obey orders. Let me go. And he was spared. Do you see how if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward? Do you see how these people reaped for their attitude towards the word of God?
Sure, amen.
It's bad. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, not a textbook, but a living God. And that's what the world's looking for, church. I'm so tired of people that they come to church, they're looking for God, and what do they get at church? Entertainment like they did out there, except they say Jesus once in a while.
Sure.
That's right.
It's a shame. That's not why we go to church. We go to church to see God in his people.
Amen.
You should see God in your own life, but the Bible says let us come together. The more as we see it coming, because we can strengthen one another. The life in me feeds off the life in you, and it all works together. We're all one body. We should be functioning together. I tell you what, church, I don't know how people miss it. I don't know how they miss church. I don't understand it, and I wish I could. But there was something in me, once I gave my heart to the Lord, I couldn't help but want to
be
there.
Yes, amen. Right.
Why, given the earnest heed, that Lord, this word, you told me in the Bible to go to church.
Yes.
Knowing that it would be the best thing for me, why wouldn't I go? Giving their seed. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and that was just one example, you could go all the way down the line. All those prophets, when they rejected Dathan and Korah, when they came up and said, Moses, you're not the only holy man, the earth opened up and they fell in it. Don't fight the word of God. Just accept it. Look, God gives grace. He gives grace first, but if you turn it down, you're heading to judgment.
Amen.
He doesn't desire that. God doesn't want anybody to come to judgment, but if you won't accept the only way out, that's where you're going. God doesn't send man to hell. Man sends himself to hell. Even in the days of Noah, I know God prophesied that it would flood and destroy the whole world, but I believe he let man make it happen on his own. And we wonder how this world could be burned up with fire. And I tell you what, 100 years ago, you could probably sit here and scratch your head and go, how could the whole world be burned up with fire? But now after World War II, we watched a bomb knock a whole city out in a matter of seconds. What do you think they have now? Probably want Florida clear off the map to where it doesn't even exist anymore. And then look at the radiation fall off from that. Let's say they get the air to explode. It's over. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? It's because none of us have seen the literal corporate body of Jesus Christ standing on earth. We didn't hear his literal voice speak in that perfect body, but look what it says here. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard. Aren't you grateful that the life kept traveling down?
Yeah.
Christ, he spoke the word unto his apostles. They took it and they spread it out into all the world. And if you trail it down, you heard the word because somebody else heard the word.
Amen.
You heard the word back here.
Amen.
Heard the word back here. And it's a witness all the way back to Christ himself.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why I love Christianity. You know, everything else, it's like, oh, you know, this person was just good at it and he teaches everybody else. No, everybody else had to find Calvary in Christianity. There's no one who's just, oh, I'm just a Christian and everybody comes and learns from me. It's no, I met Calvary too. I died just the same as you. There ain't no big eyes. There ain't no little use. We've all been humbled by the presence of God.
Amen.
And we saw we were sinners.
Amen.
That's how Christianity works. Oh my. How should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? By the first was spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Oh, I love it. God also. It wasn't just because they were speaking something. It's because something happened.
Right.
God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So we go through the book of Acts, and we see the man that Peter says, you know, such as I have, give I unto you, in the name of Jesus, stand up. That was God's will.
Amen.
He wasn't twisting God's arm to make that man get healed. God wanted him healed so bad, he went to Calvary and paid for every single healing that would ever need to be.
Amen.
As we've read before, he did die for the elect, but he died for the sins of the whole world.
Yeah.
Even those that rejected him, he paid for it anyhow.
Amen.
Just so they would be without excuse.
Yes. Right?
And if you're not living victorious, look, it ain't the word's fault. It's yours.
Right.
And I can show you where the prophet said that, but I want to save some time here. What message are you bringing to the world? How are you giving the earnest heed? Are we just telling people about it? Or is it actually being confirmed by the Lord himself and bringing things to pass?
Amen.
When you lay your hands on the sick, do they get well? If they're not, there's something wrong somewhere.
Amen.
God wants to heal, church. He wants to save.
Amen.
He wants his word proclaimed on the housetops. These things were not done in a corner.
Amen.
That's right.
A messenger, reading from Brother Bram now. You're a messenger. You are a messenger of good news or a messenger of bad news. Oh my, how many times we need to stop going to work and going, man, I'm so tired today. I'm sorry, brother. See, the Lord does that sometimes, you know. I'm just going to let that go. But you do, and you got to recognize that you are a creator. You're a minor creator. So if you speak negative, it will produce itself.
That's exactly right.
The devil can't do it on his own now. He needs you. Could you imagine if you recognize that the devil can't even work without you? How big of a chump is that? Someone that can't beat you unless you let it. That's really the fight, church. Use the name of Jesus. It will win every time.
Amen.
Don't ever back down from the devil. Never take the defensive against Satan.
Amen.
If he wants to hand you sickness, you hand it right back.
Amen.
If he wants to try to hand you sin in your life, you say, you'll never get over this. You'll always lust. You'll always look at this. You'll always covet. You'll turn it down and say, no, sir, that's not what the word is. And I am the word.
Amen.
Yes. You're a messenger of good news or of bad news. Oh, isn't it beautiful to know that we are ambassadors, that we are angels, the angels of the resurrection. You are the messengers that the resurrection actually happened.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me. A long life's narrow way. Lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And we're all sitting there. Oh, God, God, please do this. God, God, please, please, God, God. He's saying, go do it.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
I already told you what was the Great Commission. Go.
Uh-huh.
Can we stop there? That doesn't mean sit, as most Christians think. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay their hands on the sick. They'll recover. They'll cast out demons. They didn't say, pat on demons. Oh, it's okay. You know, you can lie and steal. And, you know, yeah, well, don't worry about that pulling thing. Just come on and make sure you pay your tithes now. Don't you hate that religion? It makes me sick to my stomach. I'd rather have five people that love God than a million that don't. God can get more done with five people actually in his hand than he could with a million people wandering about and sinning and doing all this haphazard stuff. It's a bunch of nonsense. Let me read again here. He says, and we are God's messengers to the sinful world, that Christ lives. In our hearts he lives. In our spirit he lives. And he brings us from the low to bunk to life of sin and exalts us up and gives us a hallelujah in our souls. I tell you what, church, Cain was from the land of Nod. He gave me a hallelujah in my soul. You need to recognize what the room message really is now. Look, if I came up today and said the first five people in church get $1 million, I'd have to have a gun to make sure nobody got killed out there. But how can we get salvation? Which, you know, that $1 million is going to burn up here soon. And really, right now, it ain't worth squat in reality. But salvation, oh my. What did Jesus say? He says one soul's worth more than 10,000 worlds.
Uh-huh.
And if you need to take that perspective when you look at a sinner, don't worry about his sin at the moment. Look, Christ can't, you can't save him. Christ did. He has to accept him, but Christ already saved him. And if you can recognize that soul is worth 10,000 worlds to God, it makes it easy to give earnest heed to it.
Amen.
And you begin earnest prayer and say, Lord, open the door that you might show that you're alive to this person. Do you see how this all goes together? Thank you, Jesus. Gives us a hallelujah in our souls and makes us new creatures. We are messengers, angels of the covenant. How wonderful. Christ was the angel of the covenant. We are now his angels of the covenant, which he has made with us, which is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are weary, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
So tired of all the negative in this message, aren't you? Oh, you gotta stop watching TV. You don't gotta stop anything. If you just fall in love with God, like I said before, it just don't interest you no more. You gotta quit your drinking. I tell you what, I drink every beer I want to. Every time. All the time. I have no desire for it. You smoke every joint you want to when you're born again. You do everything you want to in Christ. The point is, you're dead.
Amen.
The old man, all those desires, that's long gone. There's a new man created in the image of the Son of God. So what he desires, which we know Christ always desired right, he never did no wrong, that same life that's in him, that was in him, is now in you.
Amen.
And it will live itself. And what are people looking for? They're not looking for some Superman religion, church. They're looking for something that helps in, out, every day, every minute, all the time.
Yes.
And that's the word of God.
Amen.
True ineffective witness, live for God all the time.
Amen.
Don't just come in super Christian one day and backslid in the next and then sad the next day and depressed the other day. Be a Christian 24/7. You go, but I feel like I'm lying to myself. That's not true. That's the devil lying. Speak faith.
Amen.
You wake up and go, I don't feel good. Say, I feel good anyhow.
Yes.
That's right.
I feel good because the word says I feel good. It says that God said I should prosper in health even as my soul prospers.
Amen.
I feel great.
Amen.
Yep.
Devil come by. by and say, man, aren't you lonely? Go, no, sir, I got Christ right here. I ain't never lonely.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful? God lived in a time by himself, but he made sure that none of us would ever have to.
That's right.
People say they're loners. There ain't no such thing. Let me give you $100 million. I'll go give you your own private island. You can have anything you want, but you have to go live it by yourself. You gonna be happy? Doesn't mean anything anymore, does it? Unless you can share it with one another. And people, like I said, don't want to come to church and don't understand. I don't understand. My, we shouldn't be so in love with one another. God wants to bear witness. Let me just read this real quick as I get ready to close. Watch this. The Lord bore witnesses. Oh, I'm so happy for that. The Lord bore the witness. Look, when Elijah sat on the hill and he said, if I be a man of God, let fire fall from heaven and consume you. God bore witness that he was a man of God. God always bears witness. Your life will bear witness. I don't know what your testimony is, but your life speaks so loud, your voice can't be heard.
Amen.
The life you live, that's why there's no point in trying to fake any of it. Look, if you want to do that, go do it. Until you get the desire out of you, it doesn't matter. You're guilty of it anyhow.
Amen. Sure.
I ain't talking about just being tempted now. There's such a line there. Yes, temptation is coming thoughts, but if there's something on the inside that you have to do those sins, you haven't met Christ yet. There's something wrong in your experience. Amen. There's always a power to overcome sin when you have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And if you have the Holy Ghost, you need to recognize that the only times you lose is because of your own dumb fault.
Amen.
You shouldn't have. There's no way the devil should have won because the Holy Ghost has power over the enemy.
Amen.
He didn't destroy one part of heaven or hell. He destroyed the whole kingdom.
Amen.
They're all walking around toothless. All the devil has is what he can bluff you with.
Right.
He's got a good poker face. That's about it. Other than that, he's a chump. Your life speaks so loud, your voice can't be heard. You're living. Your everyday life will testify what you are. God bears witness. Yes, the Holy Spirit is a seal. And a seal takes both sides of the paper. They see you standing here and see when you go away, not only in church, but at everyday work. We need to take our everyday work a little bit more serious, I think, because you are an ambassador for Christ. You need to take heed that you are standing. They will look at you, especially when they find out your testimony. When they start looking at your life and, oh, yeah, God did this, and then you better get ready because Satan's going to try to make you fall. He's going to try to make you stumble to destroy the testimony of Christ. Because he's not really interested in you now. He's interested in destroying the image of Christ.
Amen.
Everyday work. You're sealed on both sides, inside and outside, by the joy that you have. I tell you what, you walk into work every day with a smile, it speaks way more than you would think. Because there ain't no joy no more. There ain't no joy in this world no more. They're starting to recognize life is awful. They're starting to recognize there ain't no point in living. Why do you think you find people that just spend everything they have in one day? Because they realize, I'm just going to die anyhow. They don't believe in God or anything anymore. It doesn't matter. Live it up.
Amen.
We're just going to die and go to the dirt anyhow. Feel sorry for them. Don't try to destroy sinners. Feel sorry for them and do something for them. How? Pray that God would use you to get down into that soul and to pull that desire. Because every man has a desire. There's something in him. There's a hole there. There's a hole in every man that only God can fill. It's that satisfying portion. Aren't you so glad you found something that can actually satisfy? And it satisfies all the time. The only time we're not satisfied is when we get out of it, isn't it? When we let the presence of the Lord depart because we're doing something stupid over here that we shouldn't be doing, we know better. That's the only time you're not satisfied. Second, you get back in the presence of God, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes, it is. Amen. Amen.
I'm talking about having that joy day in, day out, no matter what the circumstance. Some of you know that I'm just going to go this way. You pray for me now. My wife's mother committed suicide here a few years ago. And I'm going to tell you what, if it wasn't for the almighty power of God, there ain't no human can bear that kind of stuff. And you wonder why when people try to do it without God, they go crazy and things. Yeah, you would. But when God steps in and says, look, I know you don't understand, but there's a purpose. There's a purpose. And something on the inside says, yes, Lord. Imagine me and Brother Branham when you lose your wife and your baby for your own mistake.
Amen.
Why do you think he got down and the devil starts telling him, you fasted, you prayed, you tried to do this, you tried to do that. Look, God took your baby and child, or took your wife and your baby. And he said, and I almost cursed God right there. Said, but something on the inside said, the Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you really have an experience with God, that anchor needs to be there.
Amen.
You're not your own anchor, church. He is our anchor.
Yes, he is.
Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Joy is so much more than just fleeting happiness. It's the rock solid faith that God allows what is best. You might not understand it. You don't need to understand it. The Bible never told us to understand it. It told us to believe.
Amen.
God's not looking for you to figure it out. He's looking for you to have faith in Him.
Amen.
You're sealed on both sides inside now. Reading again. By the joy that you have and by the life that you live, you're sealed in and outside. That you know you're saved and the world knows you're saved by the life that you live. For God bears witness.
Amen.
Oh, I love that. Even the times, I don't know how many times this has happened, church. I know you probably don't believe this, but there's times where preachers don't feel good. There's times preachers go, man, I'm not worthy. I'm not a Christian. I'm a failure. There's times where preachers go through that, and it's probably more often than most people. Because the devil knows if he can get me off, it'll influence a lot. He knows that. And it's not to brag or boast or any of that. That's just the facts. That's the way it is. But I can't tell you how many times I started feeling, man, I'm a, whatever, I'm a sinner and all this stuff. I remember I was working at Ponderosa, and I can't even remember what. Oh, I do now. We went to this back room. We were taking a break. We were eating, and they were going to start talking about something. I guess it was going to be dirty or something. And they said, "Hey, Andrew, you probably need to get out of here." And I was like, "Well, why is that?" He's like, "You don't want to hear about this. So you're a Christian. Get out of here." And that was the day where I was wanting to just throw the towel in. God come around and said, don't worry about it. They know. They know who you are.
Yeah.
And it ain't the religious people. The religious people are the ones that can't figure it out.
Right?
It's the devils that recognize God.
Right.
Besides the elect themselves recognizing God, the next person to recognize God is the devil. Why? Because he's getting whipped by him all the time.
Yeah.
Those religious priests with all their wonderful, wonderful religion. We keep the law. I fast twice a week. I'm such a good person. And Jesus would write him and say, "You bunch of snakes in the grass. You bunch of devils." Because he knew their heart. Here come an old prostitute who knew I ain't worth nothing. So God said, "God have mercy. He could do something for that soul."
Sure.
God bears witness of what you really are. And it's so great that when we watched the woman at the well, she lived as a prostitute, had five different wives. God was able to look past that and saw what she really was made out of. And all it took was one word, and she sold out everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to sell out, church. It ain't time to hold on to anything in this world. It's right. Going to vanish. Man, you pray for me. There's something I was going to get to. I don't remember what it is now. Maybe the Lord will just move on then. Stand together. I'm going to read here again. If every word was steadfast by the angels, Jesus said, "Little while, and the world won't see me no more. Yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the age." And when we see him come down, have you seen the Lord come down?
Yeah.
Even tonight, he's still here, church. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we see him come down to continue to confirm his word, how shall we escape if we secure to some church or some organization or some denomination or some little pet theory of our own? You better turn loose. Which means don't bring any of your own thoughts to God. If it's not the word, let it go. It's the devil. Take heed to the things that we have heard. How do you take heed? Take everything that happens, every thought you have, every circumstance you're in, take it back to the word of God.
Amen.
Sickness shows up. Go back to the word. It says, "By his stripes, I am healed."
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Is there any soul in here who doesn't know you're standing with God just at the moment? But you want to know and just let go of everything in this world. Raise your hand to him and commit yourself to him. And I believe he'll change you. He'll mold you. He'll make you into his image. Does anybody like to raise their hand to Christ?
saying, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Please be reverent to the Holy Spirit now, because I know He's here. He's here to confirm His word, church. If you have any desire, there's somebody in here who just, you know you've been sealed into the kingdom, but there's something that Satan might have tricked into your life. And you're saying, Lord, I'm sorry that I let down the bars. I'm sorry that I let the devil push around the word of God that's within me. And you want to raise your hand and say, Lord, forgive me. Give me the strength to get up another day. Not in my power, not by might, but by your spirit, Lord. May that spirit that's within me rise up and destroy the works of the devil in my life. Would you commit that to the Lord now? I believe He sees every hand. God bless each one that's raising their hands now. He is a faithful high priest. Do not look for me. Do not look for some fancy words I'm about to say to do this. Christ has already said He will fulfill your desires. He says, whatsoever you pray, when you ask, believe that you receive, and you'll receive it right now, church. If you feel empty, you need a real filling of the Holy Ghost. I believe if you raise your hands to the Lord, He'll come down and fill you once anew. You will walk out of here going, I don't know if I'm saved. You'll walk out going, thank Jesus that I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Spirit. Pray your own way now. I'll lead and pray. Heavenly Father, we've done all we know how to do. Lord, the word is true. We preached your word. I pray that now you would come down and confirm your word in every soul here. May every soul leave saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. May we be soldiers equipped by the word of God to go out and to be ambassadors for you, Father. The time is short, Lord, but there's still a work to be done. Help us to take heed, I pray. Myself included, Lord, help me, Lord, as a minister of the gospel. Forgive me for my slothfulness. Forgive me for my selfishness. Help me to take every moment of every day and give you praise. To testify on the job, Lord, not afraid of the witness of Christ, that when you present opportunities that souls might come, Lord, may we not shuck it off or listen to Satan's reasoning saying, oh, it's just for another time. Let us take heed and walk through the door by faith. Help each soul here. I pray that you equip everyone with the Spirit of God. Lord, knowing that they'll have to go to work tomorrow. They'll have to go to their homes. Lord, and we live our best at home. We live our worst at home. Help us to live every moment, even in our house, in worship to you. Thanking you and giving you praise for all the wonderful blessings you give us, Lord. We don't want to take these things for granted, Lord. You bless us so abundantly, Father, more than we could ever ask or think. Help us, Lord, to not be forgetful hearers, but to take these things into our heart and say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I believe as the people are too, we recommit our hearts to you, saying, Lord, put a fervent desire within me to get the word of God out to souls. We're ready to go home. But we know that the only thing you're waiting on is for us to be ready. Forgive us, Lord, for our slothfulness. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our shortcomings, for our backslidings, how we've turned away from you. Forgive us, Lord, and bring us back into perfect fellowship, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's sing that song together. To prayer, you can come forward. I'll pray with you. Let's give the Lord some worship now.
Christ in front of everybody. In front of you two, that is. Yeah.